This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, did you miss me? Yeah, I know. I put on a tape last week. You know why? I was at Barrett-Jackson, the Barrett-Jackson Northeast at the Mohegan Sun, and I was on the live stage. And by the way, you can see that at Barrett-Jackson.com. And I also did some interviews with celebrities. And I did the live stage where we talked about like 40 or 50 cars just after they came off the auction block. They'd come over to my live stage presented by Shell and Pennzoil. It was a pioneering performance live stage. And I had co-hosts from Hemmings Motor News and Car and Driver. And my buddy George Kennedy was there from the Boston Globe. And I was thinking, where the hell's Chris Duke?
Yeah, that guy.
No, you were in Indy. That I don't want to hear. Weren't you in Indy?
I was. Just see? For a weekend. Well, just one day.
Well, see? So?
Yeah.
Sorry, you got to make your choice, man.
That's right. Well, you're always somewhere, though.
I know. So Chris Duke on the line here, everybody. He and I do a TV show that he's been doing for years and years and years and years, and I don't even know how many there are now, but hundreds and thousands of billions of people have watched. It's called Motors, M-O-T-O-R-Z dot TV. You can watch it. There's all kinds of episodes out there for you. Like almost, are you at 100 yet? Are we at 100?
92, 93, something like
See?
That.
Lots so of, you know.
We're going to be at episode 100 before you know it, and then we got to have a big party in Vegas at SEMA or something. I don't know. We'll figure
something
out.
Yeah, perfect, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, motors.tv, well, you got to make sure you put the Z on there, motors.tv. You can watch the DIY show.
Friends.
Yeah, exactly. So by the way, I got to drive to muscle cars, Barrett-Jackson, muscle cars. Oh my God, there were so many great cars. I actually almost bought one. My wife sends me a thing. I'm going to freeze the bank account. And I'm like, well, don't you dare buy a car. And so I posted on Facebook. All my friends are laughing at me because I chickened out. I'm like, you know, happy wife, happy life. She ain't happy with me. Anyway, but I drove a Dodge. Of course, you know, we're sponsored by Dodge. So I called them up and I go, hey, help a brother out. So, yes, they said, all right, we're going to have a Dodge Charger Hellcat for you, a 2017 sitting there at the airport when you land. Big mistake. What I did is I flew into LaGuardia and had to drive 2.5 hours, of which I made about 1.5 hours. I had to drive 2.5 hours to Connecticut, where Mohegan Sun is. And, you know, there was some fool trying to race me in a Cadillac CTS-V. Of course I won. Anyway, point is, what an amazing machine. And then I see that you're driving a 2017 Camaro, a Kermit the Frog green Camaro. What was that?
I've got so much to say about this vehicle because it's one of the, you know, I just started recently driving for GM, and this was the first vehicle that they dropped off. And I just couldn't be more giddy when it pulled up in front of the house, and I just went outside, and it's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's
I described it, Kermit the Frog green. What do you call that?
It's called Krypton green, and everything else is blacked out. So it's got black 20-inch wheels. It's got a black spoiler.
I think it was
it's
green.
Got a black splitter. Yeah, it's just this really bright. I'm not going to say obnoxious. I want to say bright because I really do like the color, and I suspect it's one of those colors that some people like or hate. But when it pulled up and I went outside, it looked like this toy. Right. You know, like it looked like a character. It didn't look like a vehicle. It looked like this fun little toy that you want to get in and
right.
just go shred.
Something out right out of the movies. By the way, it's like Dodge with their plum crazy and their you know, wild yellow and I don't know whatever their colors. They started that whole thing and everybody is jumping into the game. They can do such amazing things with paint and colors these days. Yeah. You know, they have those ones that are like rainbows. It turns colors as you go by. Love that stuff.
Yeah, so it was just an incredible thing just at first sight to see it. And again, everything is all blacked out. So if it's not this bright green that you won't see anywhere else on the road. In fact, I've never seen that color on the road. And while I was driving it, I didn't see anything like it. And still, you know, this is a month later or so since I've had the vehicle. I still haven't seen anything resembling that color. But yeah, I love it when you're driving down the road, and you know this, every vehicle is just monochromatic, you
right?
know, gray, white, black.
Well, and speaking of that, by the way, yeah. I don't know if you saw, I posted over the weekend, I'm thinking about getting a Dodge Demon, 2.3 seconds, 0 to 60, and they have 12 colors. I got to figure out whether I want one of those crazy plum crazy colors or something like silver or black. Let's take a break.
Sell the Viper first.
Well, that, of course, I've got to figure out how to do this, but I'm thinking I can mortgage my house. We're talking with Chris Duke, my co-host. I'm his co-host, and we do TV and radio together. We test drive cars. This is a mobility show for enthusiasts. We'll be right back with more of The Drive. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And this show is brought to you in part by GoRVing.com, the one site where you can find everything under the sun you need for your next RV adventure. And Chris, you know what? I just picked up a 22-foot Airstream. I'm taking my wife, and we're going to go down and go camping, baby. It's been a long time, so I'm going to try a new 2017 Airstream. But...
nice.
We'll talk about that another time because it may be not suitable for radio. So you got to drive the 2017 Camaro. I haven't driven a Camaro in probably two or three years, just so you know. And of course, you know, we're sponsored by Dodge, so I'm driving everything Dodge lately, which is great. I love it. I'm glad you're in the Camaro. So you had a V6 model, right?
Yeah, you know what? I do too. I love driving all these muscle cars and all these different vehicles from different manufacturers and Mustangs and Challengers and Chargers. I'm a muscle car guy. I'm a truck guy, but I'm also a muscle car guy. And I'm ashamed that this is the first time I've actually even been inside of a Camaro.
Really?
And
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was just badass. Yeah, it was a V6, 3.6 liter, a 6-speed manual transmission.
Nice.
And I think that if it wasn't manual, I'm not sure I would have had as much fun with
it
because
right.
The exhaust note was actually really good for a V6.
They've got that figured out.
Yeah, they did. And it's got a ton of power too. So, you know, just going through and having that manual control over your shift points and having that V6 power in the Chevy was so much fun.
You know, having the manual transmission in the twisties makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. There's something very visceral about being able to shift gears. And, you know, I love paddle shifters. I love automatic mm-hmm. transmissions.
Yep.
I love all that stuff. But you just, there's like man and machine connect through a stick shift, right?
Yeah. Yep, and I wouldn't have it any other way, especially with a muscle car. So the cost of this was $30,000. That's the base price, but it was $43,000 as driven. So it had almost $13,000 worth of upgrades.
Wow.
And so where all this came in the form of was tech. And you know how much I love tech. And there was some other cool stuff, like here's one. So it had all these black accents, the black wheels and spoiler. And one of the other things it had was a black hood, but it was wrapped in a satin vinyl. So the whole hood was black. The rest of the car is just bright gray.
I like that.
Now,
I
love the look. And so from an appearance standpoint, I really loved it. But while I was driving the vehicle, it dawned on me why it was black. Is because the other parts of the exterior that I could see through the side, you know, windows or whatever, just the front corners of the front windshield were these bright green. Like I could just see a little bit of the side fenders and it was just bright green. So it dawned on me that if the whole hood was this bright green, it would actually be very distracting to drive that vehicle.
Could be,
so maybe it was out of necessity as well as looks, but I really liked Like, it was just a really cool effect. On the inside, it had Recaro leather and suede bucket seats. That was like a $1,200 option.
Right.
Sometimes Recaro seats can be comfortable, sometimes not.
Depends on how big your butt is.
Yeah, exactly. But these were super comfortable, and I love the feel of them. The steering wheel and the shift knob also had suede leather on them, which I loved. I love the feeling of that. But then I was kind of wondering, like, okay, 5 years down the line, after driving with, you know, grimy hands for a while, like, how is that suede leather going to hold up? Do you have any idea? Because I don't see suede leather on a steering wheel and a shift knob too often. I have seen it before, but
yeah, that's why you get a steering wheel wrap after a while. But it does, you know, it does make it, it's, I don't know, it's nice when it's new. And then, like you said, 5 years down the road, and that's what this show's about, is what can you do? And they make some really nice steering wheel, you know, things that you just wrap around the steering wheel. They're kind of tight, and you're like, how's this thing going to fit on there? Well, that's kind of part of the whole thing. It's not laced on like the old ones that they used to have, but yeah, there's always a fix for that. All right, last question. Tech, when you said, you know, you're into the tech, what was it that impressed you about it?
So another thing that they've got, and a lot of vehicles have it now, is Wi-Fi built in. And I love that. You turn the vehicle on, it automatically connects. There's a cost to that, though. There's the low end is $10 a month for 1 gig, $20 a month for 4 gigabytes, and $40 a month for 10 gigabytes, which is fine. Like, my daughter was able to use it. Usually she connects to my iPhone hotspot, but it's nice to have Wi-Fi built in. So all this additional tech that they've got, it had a heads-up display, just all the dash, it just looks super cool, all digital. I love it.
Yeah,
so,
no, nice vehicle.
I can't
vehicle.
Say enough good things about the Camaro.
I'm glad you finally got to get behind the wheel of one. I drove one, I don't know, it's probably been 2 years ago. I had it for a week. Had a great time in it. The newest one that they've just raced around the Nürburgring evidently is shocking everybody. So you guys check out Camaro LTZ, whatever the hell it is, the numbers that they give these things. Anyway, the Camaro Nürburgring, that's all you have to do is put that in there and you'll give it all the beast. Doggone numbers and letters. It's a Camaro. All right?
Right.
You give love a bad name, you know that? Goodness gracious.
I'm sorry.
Chris Duke. Watch Motors TV, MOTORZ.TV. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back. I got to get some coffee. Not all projects offer enough space to swing a hammer. Now you can drive a nail in tight spaces with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt Hammerhead Auto Hammer. With an adjustable head that pivots 0, 45, and 80 degrees, you can work on projects in tight corners or overhead with ease. Plus, two built-in LED lights and a convenient magnetic sleeve that helps position the nail will make your next project a breeze. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Well, you know, I get to do the honors of being the Grand Marshal at Hot August Nights for the last, I don't know, it's 7, 8, 9 years. I don't even know what it is. I've lost track. It's every year on my anniversary. So my wife is like, are we going to the Hot August Nights? I said, of course, I'm the Grand Marshal. Well, the executive director, Mike Wan, who when I first went was a police officer in downtown Reno or in that area. Were you a police officer in Reno, Sparks? Where were you, Mike?
I was in Reno for Reno PD.
You're a handsome man, by the way. You look good in uniform.
Well, even better when I'm standing next to you. I mean, in a good way.
Exactly. So it's coming up, everybody. This is an event where I've heard all kinds of numbers, but I've heard as many as 500,000 people go to Reno for this amazing event. It's a week-long event. Matter of fact, doesn't it start kind of in Virginia City like the week before in August, like what, 4 and 5? It's an amazing thing. So it's kind of an event on top of an event. Talk about it real quick, Mike.
Well, you know, it starts, like I said, Virginia City is a great partner. This is our third year going up there, and it's an old classic town. And you go up there with old classic cars, and now you got old classic town with wooden sidewalks. It is an unbelievable atmosphere. We park the cars there. They sit there all day. They show and shine. There's a lot of old antique shops and photo shops and dinner places. And then they cruise. They cruise up and down the street. You know, you got 300 or 400 cars up there, and it's unbelievable place to go. And it's only about 20 to 30 minutes from Reno, so it's a perfect fit.
Right. So that's Virginia City, August 4 and 5. And then Reno and Sparks, I mean, both towns get completely taken over by, I don't even know how many. Have you guys ever tried to count or take some sort of an accounting of the probably 10,000 or so hot rods and muscle cars and classic and antique cars? How do you know how many there are? It's amazing.
You know, there's about 6,000 that register with us, so they get a placard for the window so they could do all the cruises and stuff like that. But right. I would guess there's another 5,000 or 6,000 just show up.
And that's what I figure.
At least.
Yeah.
And hang out and, you know, which it's an unbelievable, like I said, that 10, 11-day event seems like it's a month long because we talked about that before. Your days are 20-hour days.
Right.
It goes for, you know.
It's a lot of fun. Well, and that's August 8th through the 13th, and that is Hot August Night. If you guys want to go to an event that has got cruising and rock and roll music and, you know, of course, it's Reno, so there's a little gambling and just fun stuff and all the big casinos and great food. And, I mean, it's really a fun getaway. You got Lake Tahoe's up the way. People come up sometimes, and they leave town for a day just to go up to Tahoe and do something else fun just for the day. And, I mean, it's inexpensive as heck. It's unbelievable compared to some of these places you have to go. But the music, let's talk about that for a minute. All the big casinos, they put on free rock and roll concerts.
So, yeah, when you talk about real inexpensive, I'll tell you what's inexpensive is a free concert for Joan Jett on a Saturday night of our event in
free.
The Grand Sierra parking lot.
Right.
Free.
Yep.
Last year we had the Monkees, we had America. We had 15,000 people in the parking lot enjoying these concerts.
Wow.
So Friday night we have Rick Springfield.
You're kidding.
Johnny Rivers on Thursday night. Just to throw a couple names out there
right.
that, you know, we have free concerts. We supply everything. The stage, the whole works. People would just come out there to pop out your chairs or you could stand up and dance in the back and enjoy it.
Car shows on top of car shows. And purses, I mean, there's $5,000 here. But you guys also do the Hot August Nights Cup, right?
$100,000 in cash and prizes. $70,000 in cash and about $30,000 in prizes for all these different sponsors that help us out with this thing. So the winner gets a check for $30,000 cash and then some another $10,000 in prizes. And all the top five winners get cash. Top 10 winners get a jacket and, you know, a trophy and just kind of making sure they know they belong in this group. These are million-dollar cars.
Yeah.
Unbelievable cars.
It's really changed the game. I mean, when you're talking about a $100,000 purse, that's a game changer. You're going to have people, and I know you have people from all over the world bring their hot rods and classic cars, right?
Not this last year. The year before, we had a guy from New Zealand
yeah.
ship out his car.
Right?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. So thank you again for giving me the honor to be the Grand Marshal. And, I mean, what does a Grand Marshal do? Basically, I'm a promoter. I'm going to promote it because I'm on a radio show and you get out there and you know, you talk to people and you just have fun. And I'm telling you what, it's been a blast. It's been a blessing to watch this event continue to evolve, to have this Hot August Nights Cup of $100,000, to be able to have my children literally go from being 10 years old to 18 years old now. My youngest one, he's literally grown up at Hot August Nights. And I got to tell you something. He's a massive car guy right now. He owns like three cars. He's only 18. And he's earned all the money buying and selling stuff. But man, this event will turn your kids into car guys. And so whether mom, dad, you know, it's a great time to get with your kids and go have some fun and experience a little bit of the nostalgia of cruising. Because some towns, I remember when they outlawed cruising. It's like, what? And today with Hot August Nights, it's a must. I mean, you go there to cruise. So a lot of fun. Again, it is in Nevada, Hot August Nights, August 8th through the 13th. And if you want to check out Virginia City, also August 4th through the 13th, you can do both events. All right. Well, there you go. Mike Wan, executive director. I remember he pulled me over when he was a cop. I told him, you know, if you don't give me a ticket, we'll make you the executive director. I don't have any power to do that, but somehow he's now the executive director. And weren't you supposed to do like a burnout or something, or what was the story?
Yeah, you promised to build me a car if I would burn out in uniform in downtown Reno, and I never got the car.
Well,
to work on that.
If I bring something, will you still do that?
Absolutely.
Oh, I got a Dodge Demon coming, baby. I'll have to talk to the president. All right. Again, Hot August Nights, August 8th through the 13th. I'll be there. Grand Marshal signing off. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dennis from Fast and Loud on Discovery. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, I had a great time at Barrett Jackson, and I got to do something a little different this year. Every Barrett Jackson, I do these symposiums with the Barrett Jackson experts. This event at Barrett Jackson Northeast at the Mohegan Sun, I got to do one-on-one interviews with some very special guests. And one of those guys was Dennis Collins from Collins Brothers Jeep. You also know him from Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel and Gas Monkey Garage with Richard Rollins. And he's one of my old buddies. And I got to tell you, Dennis, you did a great job. We did a whole hour in front of about 500 people. I got a lot of people that came up to me afterwards and said, oh, my God, I had no idea the guy had so much depth of knowledge on classic cars. And I didn't even know that. The more I peeled the onion of Dennis Collins, and by the way, everybody, you can see this at Barrett-Jackson.com. And if you go into where it says media, so you click on, you know, across the navigation bar, it says media. And actually, you may even see Dennis and me sitting in chairs on the sidebar or something. But and then go into videos, and there was a whole bunch of videos. I did one with Wayne Carini from Chasing Classic Cars also, and Chris Jacobs, who is from Overhauling. But Dennis Collins, you shocked everybody with your all your classic car stuff that you do, besides the Jeeps and all the Fast and Loud stuff.
Well, that's pretty much what I've done my whole life. I tell everybody when I went to college, the only books I actually read from front to back were car books.
I know, me too. But it was fun, and I hope that you know, people take the time. It's a 1 hour, really interesting. I'll call it an expose of Dennis Collins, and boy, what we learned and what I learned about you. I have so much more respect. Look, I already loved you, I already respected you, but man, that depth of respect went about 10 miles deeper by the fact that you are such an amazing entrepreneur, businessman, on top of a car-loving crazy that you are, and a dad, your daughter Kelsey, who was there, you and her were doing. Well, tell the world what you did at Barrett Jackson real quick with the Jeep stuff.
What we did with the Jeep stuff is we were there for Collins Brothers Jeep. I brought my staff that build the custom Jeeps but also do the restorations, and we built a Black Mountain conversion. What is that? Every component piece that we put on a JK Wrangler, whether it be an 07 all the way to a 17, is manufactured by Black Mountain, except for the tires. The tires we used were 37-inch BFGs. So we did a 5-inch suspension lift, a 1-inch body lift, rock bumpers front and rear, 8,000-pound winch, heat reduction hood, angry grill, light guards, 3/16-inch steel fender flares, 50-inch LED, a pair of 3-inch LEDs, spots and floods, 10-inch LED on the front, synthetic winch rope, one-piece cast aluminum swing-out tire carrier, which is one of our new products, which is really cool because we integrated the tailgate hinges into the cast piece that holds the spare. And this will hold up to a 40-inch tire, and it's no longer a swing-out attached to the rear bumper, so it doesn't rattle.
Yeah.
And the other neat thing is you can put it on 30 minutes. Basically, what we did is we did a big upfit conversion in the DIY tent, proving and showing these people that you can do this stuff at home.
Well, let me ask you something. So my 18-year-old son, Christian, just got a 2000 Wrangler, right?
Okay, great year.
Got a, I don't know, 150,000 miles on it. Purrs like a kitten, you know, just immaculate condition. But, man, it's like a stock as a rock. And you're saying all this stuff could be done, and I know you guys did it all there, but all this can be done with kind of basic hand tools, in the garage. My son, if he buys your stuff, he can bolt it on, doesn't have to take it to a custom shop. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Unless he goes, you know, some of the things, some of the big lift kits he may have to take to a custom shop if he hasn't done it before. The only special tool you need, which every Jeep guy already has anyways, is a good set of Craftsman Torx bits. As you know, a lot of the bolts on the Jeeps are Torx.
Right, which we have because, as you know, I've been sponsored by Craftsman for about a decade now, so I got every Craftsman tool there is. So that makes him real lucky. Well, that's cool because he just got this and, you know, he's 18 and he's bought and sold a bunch of cars and he bought it with his own money. And, he is a Jeep. Both my boys. One has a Jeep Grand Cherokee with a V8 and he lifted it up. And then the other one, the younger one, so I got a 21 and an 18-year-old. The younger one got the Wrangler and now he's, you know, he was watching us. And you and me talking, he's like, Dad, we got to get some of that stuff. Let me ask
you. Also, your son's Jeep's going to be a TJ, so that's 97 to 06. We also have parts of those as well. And the first piece of advice I have somebody before they start busting their Jeep apart is a lot of the Torx bits that are put together on that Jeep have got Loctite on them.
Oh.
So as you're teaching your kids, you're always saying lefty, loosey, righty, tighty.
Yeah.
The easiest way to break Loctite is to go to the right first, just to see here it breaks the Loctite, and then loosen it to the left.
Okay, see? A little DIY stuff.
You start cranking it to the left, you strip it out.
That's right. So what kind of money, if somebody was going to totally customize that Jeep, what kind of money in ads? I mean, you went from stock to rock on that thing, right?
From stock to rock, you're going to spend somewhere between 15 and 20 grand.
Right.
However, if you're just starting off, it's, you know, since Jeep Wrangler is the most accessorized vehicle in the world, you can make a huge difference on your Jeep just as little as 3 grand.
What would you start with? Just curious.
We started with a brand new 2017.
No, but let's just, for my son, I'm going to have him listen to this, Christian. Just,
okay, if he's building a 2000 TJ, you know, I would recommend, since it's one of his first vehicles and he's young, just doing a puck lift, Black Mountain steel wheels, 33-inch tires, rock bumpers front and rear. It's going to completely change the stance of the Jeep, the height, the width, and the look, and he's going to get all that accomplished for about $3,000.
You know what? I got to tell you, he's going to kill me, but he paid $3,000 for that thing. I think he stole it.
Absolutely.
So for $6,000, he is going to have a rocking Black Mountain-looking Jeep.
Yeah, they have a $12,000 Jeep.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Now, so you said you had some new products that Cast Spare Tire Carriers won.
Yes, and that's a product we're really excited about. Some of the spare tire carriers, many of them that are on the market, are trick-looking. But once they're installed, they rattle, and the install time is between 4 and 8 hours.
Whew.
Ours goes on in 30 minutes, and there's no rattle, and the retail price of it is $498. And you can see that at blackmountainjeep.com, BLKMTNJeep.com.
There you go, BLKMTNJeep.com. So we're talking with Dennis Collins. You guys probably know him more from Gas Monkey Garage and Fast and Furious on Discovery Channel, but he is a businessman. He owns a Jeep wrecking yard. He restores Jeeps. He restores Austin Healey's. He restores muscle cars. He is amazing. The more I'm learning about him, I'm like, man, you're my new guru, man. I thought we were just pals, beer drinking pals, but you're like a freaking guru when it comes to this stuff.
Well, let me tell you what we got in restoration right now that we're trying to finish. You know, Pebble Beach is coming up in August.
Right.
Which I saw you there last year.
Right.
We were showing the Packard on the lawn. I think you were a little bit shocked, but yes, we were there. So we have three special cars going this year. One of them, the restoration, is approaching the most time I've spent on a car in recent memory. I looked this morning. We're 820 hours into this car.
Wow, what is it?
We're building 1937 SS1 overhead valve Jaguar Tourer, one of 12 left in existence in the world.
Wow.
Some people will say they're 17, but there's only 12 judged to be real. And what's really special about this car, you know, is when you think of SS Jaguars, everybody always thinks it's an SS90 or an SS100, which are very special cars. However, when you went into the 2.5-liter cars, even the Tourer car, you went from a side valve to an overhead valve car. So it was actually faster. So some of these earlier SS90, SS100s, which are worth gazillions of dollars, you could go to a 37, which is one of the last years and the first years of the overhead valve, and it's just faster than those cars. So you can arguably, you know, spend $400,000-$600,000 on one of those and run with the big boys or outrun them if you know what you're doing. So you can be running with the multi-million-dollar SS Jags.
I can't believe I'm hearing this kind of talk coming out of your mouth, but I love it, man. I love it. You and Richard are definitely Ferris Bueller's Day Off, so I'm playing their song in honor of that. Now, we're going to take a little break, come back. Dennis Collins is looking for something. We're going to put it out on our 100 radio stations all across America. course, you know, we're on the interweb, so we're all over the world. And hello to Jonathan in London and people that listen all over this entire planet. Richard and Dennis from Fast and Loud. We've got Dennis right now. And say hi to Big Chris for me. I kept calling him Big Steve.
You got it.
He's looking for something. You're going to help him find it on the other side. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Dodge. Born Dodge, and domestic but not domesticated, that's for dang sure. Dennis Collins with us. You guys probably know him from Fast and Loud on Discovery, or the fact that he is the one of the big Jeep guys in this world, Collins Brothers Jeep. And you can find that at collinsbrosjeep.com, Collins Bros Jeep, and his products, Black Mountain Jeep, BLK, MTN, Black Mountain, you know how that goes, BLKMTNJeep.com. All right, so you're looking for something, and we want to help you find it. What is it you're looking for, Dennis?
I got three things. For my Jeep side of the business, and this is something we've been known for forever, and I'm now having a hard time finding them, because believe it or not, out of the 27,000 he's produced from 1981 to 1985, I've owned 1,000, and now I don't have any. So I'm looking for 1981 to 1985 Jeep CJ8 Scramblers. And before you guys crunching the numbers out there, freak out and think they made them in 86. A lot of the books say they made 128. They didn't. But if you got one, I got a $25,000 reward for you.
Whoa. What in the heck? $25,000 reward?
Well, there's several books out there that say they made one in 86, and they didn't. So, okay. But if somebody has one, I'm in.
Wait a minute. We just broke new ground here. You just offered $25,000 reward again.
1986 CJ8 Scrambler.
Okay. Do it again.
Okay. If somebody out there has got a 1986 CJ8 Scrambler, it's got to be in the VIN.
Okay.
Many books out there say they made 128 of them. I got a $25,000 reward for the lead for the purchase of that Jeep.
Wow.
Now, beside that, we're looking for 1981 to 1985 Jeep CJ8 Scramblers. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's basically a CJ7 with a truck bed in the back.
Gotcha.
And I'd love for that lead to go to my daughter Kelsey's website, which is classicsdeadoralive.com. Now, those Jeeps, to me, those are the Scramblers, some of the ultimate classics, but the two classic cars we need right now for projects that we're really looking hard for, 1965 to 1973 911 and 912 Porsches in any condition, just like the website says, deadoralive.com.
Wow.
And we're also looking for 1955 to 1962 Mercedes 190 SLs in any condition.
Wow. So, by the way, that's one of the things I found out about you is that whole dead or alive thing, wanted dead or alive. You've been putting that in the newspaper and everywhere for how many years?
Right now, in Dallas Morning News and in Hemings, 29 years.
Oh, my God. That is so amazing. I've seen those ads, and it's like, it's you. You crazy man.
That was
man.
Me. Actually, my Dallas Morning News ad's been there longer than that. But, yeah, I started running Hemings. And I had the big ones. I had them everywhere. I had them in the Austin Healey section, the Alfa Romeo section. I mean, I blasted stuff, that stuff, incredibly hard.
Wow.
I slowed down when I went to college, picked it back up when I got out of college, and then slowed down when I went hard and heavy into the Jeep side of it. And now my daughter, Kelsey, she went back through the kind of the history of the company and what I've done. She goes, I'm going to fire that back up. So she's got classicsdeadoralive.com, and she's now getting the leads.
That is awesome. Classicsdeadoralive.com. And your daughter, by the way, very talented, very, very attractive, very sweet. Your wife, too. Your family. Everything you guys do. Class act.
And I married up for one. You can't shoot a guy for marrying a woman that's much better looking than you are. And she's a lot smarter than I am. And my daughter's the same way. So yeah. Now I'm kind of tailing behind them.
That's awesome. That is totally awesome. All right. He's looking for something. He offered a $25,000 reward on finding an 86 CJ Scrambler, which is that Jeep pickup. And right. You don't care what kind of condition it's in, right?
I don't care what kind of condition it is on that because there was supposedly 128 built, which I, you know, this is kind of a trick deal. I don't think they made any, but maybe they did. But the 80, but the 81 to 85s, they made approximately 27,000 of. So they are out there, and we need quite a few for projects in the back and for customers. I have run out of cores. We've used all the ones in the wrecking yard, and all the ones around Dallas-Fort Worth I pretty much bought.
All right, hang tight. I want one more segment with you because I know that you have two recent rare finds. I want to find out what those are. Dennis Collins from Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel, Gas Monkey Garage, him and Richard and myself, car guy friends, met on the Bull Run. And now we're on a quest to find some rare machines. You can help us out. It is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in electronic format with Haynes Manuals Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manuals, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices, and over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle titles are now available. The new Haynes Manuals Online are now available at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition. Find out more at Barrett-Jackson.com and go see the 1 hour interview with myself and Dennis Collins at the Mohegan Sun just last weekend. And we appreciate Barrett Jackson for giving us that stage. And about 500 people cheered, stood up, had a great time. Our show also brought to you in part by Bridgestone. And they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. Dennis Collins has some rare machines he wants to talk about. Recent finds. I'm sure they'll be for sale at some point. That's what he does. What do you got there, brother?
We just located a super rare Mopar. I'm pretty excited about it. Chased Mopars my whole life. And I actually haven't seen one of these before. I mean, all the shows I've been to and all the shows you've been to, 1962 Plymouth Fury, 413 wedge. But what's very rare about this car, it's got a 413 street stock in it from the factory with two inline fours. They only made 50 of these cars. Back then, they were using the cross ram. Remember the four barrels that were
right.
Crossed over?
When you say two inline fours, that's two four-barrel carburetors.
Correct.
Yeah.
But this is in 62. So they felt like it was going to be easier to tune the inline fours, which it was. And these were created for the street stock class for the drag racers. Well, the one that we found is one of the 50, which they're hard to prove because most of these guys don't have paperwork, and most of them have been drag raced. But the neat thing about this car is it's never been raced. And it's 100% original paint. It got the Zenith Survivor Award at Bloomington in 2014, which means it was judged by the best people on the planet.
Wow.
I was very lucky to get out of a special Mopar collection. We've got that car listed at cbjeep.com. One of the rarest Mopars out there, and it's under $100,000. 29,000 actual miles, and it's stunning.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And then for you later model muscle car guys, 70 SS454 LS5 Chevelle. Now,
what
the
color?
First car
what
everyone
color?
Always thinks about for Holy Grail Chevelle is
what
LS6.
Color? Hold on. Is it the red one?
No.
Okay. Did you see the guy that came up that bought that car brand new had 7,000 miles after your talk?
I did not.
Yes,
I did.
Yeah.
I talked to him twice. I signed his picture.
Yeah, me too.
He gave my card and said, I want that car.
That was an
SS396.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you bought that car. I thought, if you bought that car, I'm going to die. Okay, all right. Anyway.
I tried to buy it. It was a killer car, 7,000 real miles.
I know. Where do you find that? Anyway, continue. We got about 2 minutes.
I'll go real fast. The LS5s were actually rarer than the LS6s. And which the LS6 was the 450 horse car. It was the fastest car. But if you wanted AC big block, you had to go down to an LS5.
Mm.
They only made 4,298 of them. So you go even rarer than that would be one with AC power steering, power brakes, with 26,000 actual miles on it, M22 four-speed with a 331 posi, zero rushed, survivor condition car. Killer car. That's what we found this weekend, and that lead was by a guy that walked up to us at Barrett Jackson.
Isn't that amazing?
That was very cool.
You know what? You, because of the platform you have with Richard on Fast and Loud, it's like, wow, right? I mean, people know who you are. They know you're looking for stuff and that you're doing radio and television, and your social media is blowing up. I don't know how you've done that.
But I didn't do it. My daughter, Kelsey, did all the social media.
Wow. Do you know what? What a talented young lady. And she's good on camera. She's good with a microphone. She's articulate. You've done a great job of raising a good car guy.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, right. All right, so here's the website. The website that you want to check out is classicsdeadoralive.com. That will be fun. Of course, if you want to buy one of those two rare cars, cbjeep.com. If you're looking for
a classic car icon there.
There you go. If you're looking for Black Mountain stuff, you kind of have to kind of break it down to BLK for Black, MTN for Mountain, BLKMTNJeep.com. And see everything else he does at collinsbrosjeep.com. If you want to buy a Jeep, this guy right here can make you one of the hottest looking Jeeps, period. If you don't want to, you know, just go down and buy a brand new one at the dealer, you go and you can buy a brand new Jeep from Dennis that is totally customized with all the products that he has designed and built to be the best of product that you can buy for that machine. Dude, I am so proud of you. I had no idea about all this stuff. I thought you were just kind of a wild, crazy knucklehead car guy like Richard is. But, you know, you're not. You're the real deal, bro.
I go to work every day just like you.
And then now international, right, with Big Chris.
We are international with Big Chris, and we actually have SMC, which is Spectrum, in the UK. And that's also our distributor for Europe. Black Mountain Jeeps built new are available there. And the Black Mountain parts are now available in the UK. So look up Spectrum, and they're all in stock, so you're going to save an incredible amount of money in shipping.
That's awesome. Awesome stuff. All right, well, that's the end of this hour. I'm going to play it again, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, because I think we're going to change your name to Ferris. Ferris Bueller Collins.
Well, it's the same digits as Dennis, right?
That's right. All right, Dennis, thank you, brother.
Have a great day.
Great seeing you out there at Barrett Jackson. This is The Drive.
Thank you.
Yep, we'll be right back. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
This show is all things mobility when it comes to the automotive life, hobby. And but that includes water sports and flying and racing and all that kind of stuff. And Stephen Cole Smith joining me right now, Racer Magazine, automotive journalist, the finest in the world. Stephen Cole Smith tonight, Daytona.
I tell you, buddy, it's halfway through the NASCAR season, halfway through the Dale Earnhardt Jr. Farewell Tour. Although, I'll tell you, Dale has kind of screwed up some of those people. He did a Periscope thing from, I think, Michigan a couple of weeks ago. And as he's riding in his little golf cart on the way back, you know, there are people shouting questions at him because he's literally riding and Periscoping. And somebody said, Dale, we're really going to miss you, man. And he said, oh, don't worry, I'm you know, going to be back as a car owner, and I'm going to be driving some Xfinity races anyway, so, you know, I'm going to be on the track. Well, you know, that kind of messes up some of the plans for this farewell tour where everybody's saying, come see Dale for the last time ever, ever, ever at this track. And now he's saying he's not even ruling out another Daytona 500. So, you know, this whole weekend has been billed as Dale Jr.'s farewell to Daytona. Well, maybe and maybe not. So,
by the way, let's just clarify. Periscope is one of those social media things where it's kind of live, and you can't take away live, right?
No, you can't. And you know, to kind of out yourself there and tell people that I'll be back next year. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the Dale Earnhardt $55 farewell T-shirts. Maybe you'll be able to buy those on sale next year. But halfway for NASCAR, meaning that's it's time for some of the guys to start ordering. And also, incidentally, tonight NBC takes over Fox. Fox has a first half.
Oy.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said oy, because you know those handoffs can get nasty sometimes, and somebody's losing a job.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Fox has canned all of their writers for the Fox website. They're just going to run videos, so including their NASCAR guy. So,
wow.
It's tough out there doing the kind of thing that you and I do for a living sometimes.
Mm.
But right now, in terms of points, and points don't matter much. You know, you get one win and you're in the playoffs in the end. And Jimmy Johnson's got three wins. Nobody else has more than two. But it's getting to the point now where if you don't have a win yet, you know, you got to start worrying. They take 16 people for the playoff, and some big names like Matt Kenseth doesn't have a win. Dale Jr. down in 22nd in the points, no wins yet. He's got one top five. Casey Kane, no wins. Danica Patrick, stunningly, no wins, one top 10. But her boyfriend, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., did luck into a win, so he'll be in the playoffs, and they will be able to afford to go on living in the manner to which they've been accustomed, which, as if they're not anyway, because Danica's making some pretty good coin, win or not.
Right.
But, the last half of the season, some of these guys are going to need to rack up a little bit better scores if they're hoping for a championship.
So in the world of NASCAR right now, with all this kind of wacky stuff going on, who do you see is the winner out of all this stuff within the drivers and teams in NASCAR?
Well, Jimmy Johnson is, he's so tough. You know, he's very quiet when he's on the track. He doesn't really care if he leads any laps except for the last one, because that's the one that pays. You know, they got these races divided up into three and sometimes even four segments, so that's confused everybody. And they're giving points if you win a segment. So trying to figure out who is ahead in points is really confusing, because, you know, it's not the original point system was formulated on the back of a napkin.
Right.
Over drinks in Daytona at a bar there. And, you know, now you need a physicist or a mathematician
right.
to figure out where the points are at the end of the race. So I think a lot of fans are a little bit annoyed about that, but as far as winners, you know, you got to thank Jimmy Johnson, but then you look at Hendrick, the team owner. Jimmy is first. Chase Elliott, who hasn't won anything ever, in the Cup system, is 13th. And then you go way down to Kane and Earnhardt in 21st and 22nd. So, you've got four guys in identical cars ranging from first to 22nd. So it's kind of difficult to say everything's doing great at Hendrick right now.
All right, hold tight. Let me do this. Appropriate song for what's going on again. Another one bites.
All right.
NBC taking over for Fox for the Daytona race tonight. Now you know where to watch. The Drive, brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru, Subaru. And Stephen Cole Smith and I will be right back. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, the information resource for the DIY enthusiast and the worldwide leader of automotive and motorcycle repair information for over half a century. Nice stuff. Haynes, HAYNES.com. Stephen Cole Smith is here with us from Racer.com. Steve, did I see some sort of a picture of you at the Motorsports Hall of Fame in a tuxedo, or was that somebody else's head on your head on somebody else's body?
That actually is a rumor. I don't know if there are any actual photos existing. I did not pose for any, I can tell you that, because people are pretty impressed when I show up with shoes on, much less a tuxedo. But Wednesday night was the indictment for the Motorsports Hall of Fame inductees. 2017 group consists of Steve Kinser, the sprint car driver, Dick Clampett, the motorcycle racer, Terry Labonte, two-time NASCAR champ, Paula Murphy, one of the kind of pioneer female drag racers, Scott Pruitt, the still-driving sports car racer, Herb Thomas, one of the pioneers in NASCAR, and a guy that we both knew, Brock Yates, car and driver's the assassin, the guy who invented the Cannonball Run, wrote the Smokey and the Bandit movie along with the Cannonball Run movies. He is being inducted, and I think that's a good thing. Brock, even though it is Motorsports Hall of Fame and Brock was an automotive guy, he had a lot to do with early motorsports coverage.
Right.
When I was a car and driver, I sometimes would marvel at just going back through some of the files and look at what Brock had done. You know, he flew with some of the early NASCAR guys who had their own airplanes, like Curtis Turner, who would pick up a fifth and put the Cessna on autopilot and just hope he landed somewhere. Sometimes it was on a racetrack, sometimes a nearby road. Sometimes I'm not sure he even knew where he landed. But, but sometimes Brock was in the driver in the passenger seat, and he wrote some pretty amazing stuff. And he's the reason I'm in this business. He was kind of one of my early mentors and one of those guys that when I read his stuff now, I'm still blown away by what talent Brock had.
I was with him when Old Yeller went across and won at Pebble Beach, and the man cried. And that's, you know, a famous old race car. But, I mean, he was such, and you know, God rest his soul, we lost him but just recently. But what a sweet human being he was. Kind to all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was. He, you know, once in a while you meet your idols, and I got to say, from the time I was about 16 on, he's qualified as an idol, and you're so often disappointed in what they're like in real life,
right.
And Brock was not that way. He was 100% what you hoped he would be like. I'm really pissed that we lost him early and pissed that we lost his last 8 years or so to Alzheimer's because, you know, you got to think, you know, that's 8 years of some pretty great automotive journalism that we lost out on. But I'm glad we had him as long as we did, and I'm happy. I'm happy to have helped out the Hall of Fame a little bit with their research on Brock for last Wednesday's induction.
Well, I'm going to have to go look for that picture of you in a tuxedo because I've never seen anything like that. So
you will not see that often, and may never again. I don't wear it around the house. I can tell you that.
I'll guarantee you. All right, Mr. American Patriot, because you are ex. Was it sheriff or police officer? What were you?
I was a Dallas police officer.
And thank you for your service there. What are you doing for the 4th of July, brother?
Well, besides heading Daytona tonight, East Bay, the dirt track, is racing Sunday and Monday, sprint cars. And I may check and see if Tony Stewart's going to hang out over there. He did. That's where I saw him race in January. I was hanging out with him in the pits. So if he's over there, I may head over to East Bay tomorrow and Monday and just watch a little bit of dirt track. Assuming it rains here. We're in the rainy season. It rains every freaking day. So I'm hoping Daytona gets in tonight. I'm hoping everything else gets in. But, I mean, it's just raining at least 3 hours a day, and that could affect all the racing this weekend for sure.
No doubt about it. Well, Stephen Cole Smith, you are one of my heroes, brother. I absolutely adore you. Your writing is phenomenal. You are just a gracious, good man, and we really appreciate you and cherish you in this industry.
Always. always a pleasure, Alan.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Racer Magazine, Stephen Cole Smith. You can also find him in a number of other locations. Stephen Cole Smith. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor here. I want to tell you about a brand new video series I'm co-hosting with my buddy Scott Duffy. It's called Business and Burgers, presented by Microsoft. The show travels across the United States, and we're in search of the best burger in America and a side of great business advice, too. Business, sports, celebrities, and food collide in an interview-style format with noteworthy entrepreneur guests sharing the secret sauce that it took to build prosperous, game-changing companies. Follow us online on YouTube, social media, and at businessandburgers.com. Go check out our new video. It's up right now.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. And you'll find these vehicles on, well, cars like my Viper ACR, carbon ceramic brakes. The brakes on my car cost about, I don't know, $12,000, kind of the price of a whole car for some people. But if you want to stop and you want to stop fast, then like everybody in the motorsporting world, you're going to probably end up with a set of Brembos at one time or another. Glad to have them as a sponsor, by the way. They don't spend a lot of money on advertising because they just don't have to. Brendan Scanlon is joining me. He's a friend of mine and a car enthusiast, a wild and crazy guy. And recently I had to leave town, as you guys know, to go to Barrett Jackson. I do the live stage, the Pioneering Performance Stage, which is it's a whole second screen experience at Barrett Jackson. We've been doing it all year long. We did it in Scottsdale. We did it in West Palm Beach. And we just did it at the Barrett Jackson Northeast at the Mohican Sun. And what we do is that all the cars go across the auction block at Barrett Jackson. And then a select few come across my little live stage, which is the second screen experience. You can watch it at Barrett-Jackson.com. Barrett Jackson is the world's greatest collector car auction. So they do 40 hours or so of live television coverage on Discovery Channel, on Velocity. And then we have, of course, the interweb, which allows us to do what the hell we want. So I did 6 hours a day for the 3 days of the auction. I covered about 50 cars a day with some experts from Car and Driver, the guys from Hemmings Motor News, and I'm trying to think who else was there. Oh, there was a guy there from Cars.com. I don't know. We had a bunch of experts up there talking, and we were literally just drooling on the cars. So every so often, I get invited to an event by the auto manufacturers. They want us to test drive their new car. Well, Alfa Romeo calls, and they said, hey, we're going to be having a test drive in Nashville of the new Stelvio, which is the new SUV. Now, I showed it on ABC on Live with Kelly. And at that moment in time, for just a fraction of a moment in time, it was the fastest SUV in the world. The Quadrifoglio was 3.5 seconds, 0 to 60. Well, within their own company, the Jeep Grand Cherokee Trackhawk, which is the 707 horsepower V8 out of the Hellcat, they put that in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, goes ahead and takes that away from them just like 2 days later. It's all within the company. But it's funny. It's funny for me, not so funny for them. They only got to hold that title for a few days. But Alfa Romeo has a wonderful, beautiful, I have not driven it, but I can tell you it's beautiful SUV. It's called the Stelvio, S-T-E-L-V-I-O. So back to Brendan Scanlon, who is my friend. He's a 911 Porsche Carrera 2 owner. He drives a Kawasaki Ninja ZX14R, which is only the hardest accelerating production vehicle in the world. And that's the kind of guy he is during his day job. He works in the tech industry. But as a car enthusiast, I said, Brendan, I'm sending you off to drive the Alfa Romeo Stelvio. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
So here's the deal. You know, and I've told you and many people know, I don't very often give up my opportunity to drive amazing machines. But every so often in life, you pay it forward to another car guy that is just absolutely the right guy for the job. You're him. So the question is, tell us about your drive in the Stelvio.
Yeah, absolutely. And what an event it was, by the way, Alan. I tell you, Alpha does an amazing job of making it feel design-oriented and enthusiast-oriented with their setup on the event, which was in Nashville, Tennessee. There are a lot of things I'll say about it, but I think, you know, for everybody to understand that's listening, per your point, Alan, is that, you know, I'm more on the performance side of things with vehicles, with fast cars, with fast bikes. And when I think of the segment of the Stelvio, which is now competing in a very, very, very crowded space, the midsize SUV category, which is the fastest growing segment in the industry and currently owns 12% of the market in the U.S., I was not terribly and honestly excited about the vehicle. But as we'll get into this segment, I'll tell you, I was floored on how much fun that vehicle was to drive.
So let me slow you down then. So at first you weren't sure of what to think of it. Is that why?
I had my gumption.
Yeah.
You know, my expectations. I knew the specs of the car. And by the way, you know, we were driving the Stelvio 2.0 liter four cylinder turbo. So the Quadrifoglio, the 505 horsepower version, is not due for on sale factors until next year. But so we were driving the Stelvio base sport, TI Sport, and TI Lusso versions, which were all spectacular, and I can get to those in a second. But
okay,
back to your question, that is that, no, I was, you know, I had my ideas, and, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's a very crowded space, but I'm looking forward to learning more about the vehicle.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, you're two daily drivers when the sun's out is, you know, a Ninja ZX14R. I mean, 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds-ish, and 911 Carrera too. So to come out of those, almost anything is going to make you go, ho-hum. But that's why, you know, you have to kind of put your journalist goggles on for a moment, which it sounds like you did, right?
I certainly did.
Did you get to take it to a track?
Almost. So this is pretty funny. So we went to Nashville, and when we quickly got out of the city, we were exposed to what was, gosh, one of the nicest roads I've ever been on. It's called the Natchez Highway in the suburbs of Nashville, and then went into further, almost into the heartland of Tennessee, and hit some spectacular curved roads that were really ranged in condition, but it gave a great example of how the car performed under certain situations. And I was able to drive the car pretty hard.
All right,
so I put
hold
it through spaces for sure.
I want to talk more about this because you're a car enthusiast, and I'd love to get your take on it. Now, I'm going to get behind the wheel, too, and you and I are going to compare notes. But a little more on the other side. Here it is, the new Alfa Romeo Stelvio for 2018, a test drive review by Brendan Scanlon. We'll be right back. It is The Drive. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Now, imagine if one day your buddy calls you and goes, "Hey, man, you want to go and drive a new Alfa Romeo SUV in Nashville on some gorgeous, twisty roads?" And you're like, "What, me?" Well, that's Brendan Scanlon. I just couldn't go, and I had to know. I had to find somebody that could speak intelligently about, you know, just how cool this thing is. Because, I mean, I've heard rumors, but Brendan Scanlon went as our correspondent, and thank you, Brendan, for doing that. Took a couple days out of your life. But I think I have to imagine it had to be fun. Now, you started talking before I got cut off there about the twisty roads, and there's some beautiful roads in Tennessee around, especially around Nashville, and Nashville's awesome. So continue on from the twisties. You got into the twisties, and again, let's make sure everybody knows he drives a Porsche Carrera 2 as his daily driver when he's not on his Ninja. So were you impressed by how this SUV handled the twisties?
Oh, my gosh. So a couple things. Before we even talk about how it handled, let me talk about the motor. So 2-liter, four-cylinder, 280 horsepower, but it makes 306 foot-pounds of torque.
Whew.
And it spreads it out pretty nicely across the rev band. So even to get to a turn, it was a lot of fun. You're familiar with the ZF transmission, I'm sure, right, Alan? So
right.
This This sports a ZF 8-speed, shift very, very nicely, and it comes with, Alpha calls the DNA mode, D being dynamic or more most track-oriented or spirited in that sense. And, you know, I kept it in D the whole entire time.
Right.
And, you know, approaching turns, running hot into a turn, even braking a bit late, very little body roll, extreme grip. Now, here's another cool thing that the car I was really impressed with. It has an active transfer case that sends 100% of the power to the rear wheels.
Whoa.
But not slipping. So what's and what that feels like, it feels more like a performance car than an SUV, right?
Right. Well, here, hold on a second, because normally it only sends, you know, 50% or 60%, I mean, but 100% to the rear wheels. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Wheel,
yeah.
Unless there is some slip, and then it'll transfer up to a maximum of 60% to the front. Now, my guess is based on how I drove the car with our Alpha correspondent, who is borderline scared at one point, is that we were sending some power to the front wheel, our front wheels. But boy, I tell you, it handled extremely well with very little body roll and a lot of confidence in the turns itself. A lot
okay.
of fun.
Okay, so you give drivability, handling through the twisties, two thumbs up, I take it.
Absolutely, especially when I know it's competitors, right? So
right.
again, this is in a crowded space, Audi Q5, very established. Mercedes-Benz GLC, Porsche Macan, that does very well. It's very sporty in the space, and even Jaguar F-Pace.
You went and drove those right afterwards, right, on purpose?
Yep, before and after.
Okay.
I have either friends that own them, or I went to the dealer and rode them, you know, well.
Yeah, rode them hard. I like it. So in yep. comparison to those, is it the leader of the pack?
Yeah, there are a couple categories. I think in handling, number one, and I think overall performance for that motor package, certainly number one as well. It's got the class-leading specs, horsepower, torque, and 0-60 time of 5.4 seconds.
Yeah, which is good for a four-cylinder,
you know,
right?
That's a very impressive time for the non-quadrifoglio car that's aimed at, you know, everyday driving.
I want to know what you thought about styling and interior comfort and look and feel.
So, a couple things. The base seats and the base model were good. When you step up to the TI Sport package, which would, you know, get you more in that $46,000-$47,000 starting price point, those could have been the best seats I've been in. I can't remember the last time I was in seats that good. They were spectacular. Very buckety, all leather, spectacular 12-way adjustability. They were awesome. So driving position, steering wheel was really cool, too. The start button's on the wheel like a race car.
Love
very
it.
Ferrari-esque. And then styling, too, class-leading. If you look at the front of the car, it really resembles an Alfa. It's got the Scudetto, you know, the original coat of arms. It's been on all the Alphas for a long time. It shares that same look with the Giulia and the 4C. And the rest of the car has got spectacular cues of real Italian design. And it boasts a lot of enthusiasm that's more for, you know, real drivers versus just kind of run-of-the-mill mid-sized SUV.
How much money starting?
Sure. So starting at $41,900, you go to the Sport package on the base level drive, as are the $2,000. Nicely equipped TI Sport started about $47,000, and the maxed pimped out version, you're looking at about $53,000. But Alpha is thinking they're going to sell the majority of those cars in that, you know, $46,000, $47,000 range, which is really competitively priced when you look at how much fun it is to drive
right.
and what it offers compared to its competitors.
Well, there you go. Brendan Scanlon, great job. When are they going to be available? Right now.
Availability next month.
Okay.
For the Stelvio, and then Quadrifoglio super fast will be early next year.
There you go. Beautiful machine, 2018 Alfa Romeo Stelvio, available real soon at an Alfa dealer near you. Brendan Scanlon, thank you, brother.
Thanks, you, Rob.
All right. We're going to be back with more of The Drive right after this.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the broad, cynical attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of SCA US LLC.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive. And right now, my buddy Ed Justice Jr. from Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality, is right here with me. I was over at his place over in Duarte, California earlier this week. Took a tour of all his amazing collection, of all the history of, what has it been now? Ed, how many years have you guys been in business?
Well, for the company, at least over 80. I don't know if we're 85 yet in years in the automotive industry and that. 80 is a good number.
And I was telling a buddy, I said, I think they've got 75 or 80 products. And how many do you guys make now?
Over 100. And that's not counting a lot of the industrial products that we sell in markets, you know, construction, manufacturing, fleet. We go into a lot of markets that people don't really realize. They think of us as just strictly a consumer automotive additive lubricant cleaner manufacturer. But if you go on our website, you do see that we talk about semis and other stuff.
Well, good products, and a lot of the folks that are in the service departments, if you say Justice Brothers, they go, oh, absolutely. Anyway, you and I have been friends for a long time, and we're always talking about life and stuff, and you started telling me about a movie, and you were giving me a review, and I said, by golly, we got to tell the world about this. So let's just do it. You're going to be a movie reviewer since you live close to Hollywood.
Well, yeah. Hey, you know what? I read some of these reviews these other reviewers have given, and I go, these guys are not reviewers or gals and guys or whatever. But, yeah, I saw a new film. It's called McLaren, and it's about the life of Bruce McLaren, a fellow that I happened to shoot pictures of back in the day. And he's an icon. And, of course, we have McLaren cars now, and we've got a McLaren F1 team. And it's the longest-running F1 team, only second to Ferrari. And so there's a lot of this McLaren image today, but not surprisingly, a lot of people really don't know the backstory, that it started out of a little gas station garage in New Zealand, in Auckland, New Zealand. And there were things about Bruce McLaren that if I sure knew him, I've forgotten about him. And I didn't realize that he was almost bed prone for about 2 years due to a degenerative disease, something related with his hips. And he ended up with one leg shorter than the other, which I related to that because my uncle who had polio or infantile paralysis was in sort of similar situation. And it's just rather amazing. I mean, it's very well done. It was directed by Roger Donaldson, who is the fellow that did The World's Fastest Indian. And I think you saw that movie, right, Alan?
Oh, it's a great movie.
Yeah, you know, The World's Fastest Indian was a movie that people who didn't like racing could go see and really enjoy because it was a very human story with the little boy.
It is a movie that, you know, I went with my kids and it doesn't matter who you are. It's just a good movie. And a lot of car guy movies, unfortunately, they lean too into the car guy stuff and forget about the movie part, which is the entertainment part, which brings in the masses.
And that's it. And you know, Anthony Hopkins, who did The World's Fastest Indian, said it actually is one of the most favorite films that he's ever shot. I don't know that he got the most money for that movie, but he had the most fun, according to what he said, and he really enjoyed it. So anyway, Roger Donaldson, the director of that, he's done a lot of Hollywood features. You'd know him if I've mentioned him. But anyway, so he did this McLaren. And, you know, it's very similar to the movie Senna, which is, I think, a very well-done movie. I really enjoyed and learned a lot about Ayrton Senna and came away with a completely different opinion about Ayrton Senna. I had much more respect after seeing the film.
Was it kind of like Days of Thunder? Oh no, that's a different...
Yeah, no, everything but Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
But McLaren is really well done. I mean, there's some old footage that they had to shoot in order to recreate some of his childhood driving a car around, but it's done so well because you never really see the face of the individual that you know it's recreated. Maybe some of us know it and some are not sure, but you don't find out for sure. And it really plays well. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, when you have people that really know what they're doing, what a difference can happen. And Bruce McLaren, interestingly enough, while he was over in Europe, he was pretty big letter writer back to his mom and dad, and he also would record tapes, giving them a rundown of what was going on a reel-to-reel tape recorder, on a 5-inch, like, reel, send them back to New Zealand, and his parents would have all their friends over and Bruce's friends over, and they'd have a get-together and play these tapes, you know, and people would listen, and Bruce would go, well, you know, it's rather amazing. We had a good result. We're actually, you know, I'm making money. We're struggling a little bit. And he'd give them a blow-by-blow. And, you know, it reminds me when my dad, when I was young, he would buy 16-millimeter films of racing, like you know, this year's Indy 500. And he could get a crowd for meetings with mechanics by showing a film on this year's Indy 500. Now, in today's world, with YouTube and replays and everybody owns DVDs and all that, it seems like, what's the big deal? But back in that era, to get information that was either audio or video was pretty special. So this film shows you a lot of that. There's a lot of history making you aware of what went on. And, of course, like Senna, Bruce McLaren ultimately ends up getting killed in a race car in 1970 at Goodwood, where they have the festival now. They were doing some tests. And I did not know a lot of the details of the backside of that, what led up to his fatal crash. And they handled it very, very well. The team decides to go on right after his crash. I mean, here's the leader of the team. And the next race was a Can-Am race in Mossport, Canada. And so they contact Dan Gurney to fill Bruce's seat, because Dan and Bruce McLaren were very close friends. And Gurney does. He finishes second to the team car, Denny Hulme, who drives the car with severely burned hands, but does that to do. I mean, it's a Hollywood movie, but it's real. I mean, this is the real deal Hollywood movie. You know what I mean?
Did they use any of the recordings? Because that makes it amazingly realistic. I mean, actually real.
Yeah, they did. And they also got to interview a lot of people who have, since the start of the production of the film and now the release, passed away. So they talked about how lucky the timing was. One of them was Bruce McLaren's wife, Patty McLaren. She's all through the film. She's not around now to see the film done. Another was a fellow that knew Bruce McLaren from 15 years of age. He didn't live to see the finish of the film. And it reminded me of our book. I actually got a chance to have the writer for this book we're working on our family history, interview my dad and uncle's first employee. She was 80-some years of age, and she has since passed away now before the book came out. So, you know, we're at that sort of transition for this type of history. And so, yeah, no, it's amazing. They have letters. You see the struggles. They were making no money in Grand Prix racing, and they were funding it by the Can-Am winnings, because the Can-Am was a very prolific series for winnings. So the bottom line is two thumbs up, and I will tell you that this is one that as soon as I can buy the DVD, and I think you can buy it right now, in fact, I will. But you know what? It's like every movie. You'd be so much better if you get a chance to see it on a big screen, because it's so much more immersive and just it pulls you into the story. It's just it's a fantastic film.
Once again, the name of the movie?
McLaren.
It's just called McLaren.
Yeah. Wonderful. McLaren. And Alan, you know, they make some of the most incredible supercars on the road now.
I was invited to go see the newest one, and I couldn't because I couldn't make it. So I'll have to get one of my buddies to do a review on the newest McLaren. Ed Justice Jr., Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. Ed won the Dean Batchelor Award when he was the host of Road and Track Radio, and he and I did Road and Track Radio, and I did Car and Driver Radio years ago, and we had a lot of fun doing it, and now we get to do the drive together. So, Ed, thank you very much for the review.
Thanks a lot. And don't miss it. You got to go see it. If you're a car person, you got to go see McLaren.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Justice Brothers, is it justicebrothers.com?
It sure is, justicebrothers.com. And also edjusticejr.com. Check that out. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter, too, at edjusticejr.
Amazing photography. Unbelievable. Check it out. All right. This is The Drive. We'll be right back with some more.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, now that we've talked about the movie McLaren, I was supposed to go see the new McLaren 720S. It had an Arizona debut. I was in Arizona. My buddy Jason Plotke and Matt Williams from Apex Motor Club went to see it. They're like, come on. I'm like, I can't, man. I'm busy. So I was in Arizona for like 12 hours. Jason, so first of all, we were talking about the movie McLaren, but the real deal, you got to see it. I know they didn't let anybody drive it, but is it as gorgeous in real life as it looks in pictures?
It truly is as gorgeous in real life as it is in pictures. And you got to hand it to these guys, right? Like, I mean, they just started selling cars like, what, 6 weeks ago? And now they're on their third or fourth model in a redesign. And this car is amazing. They've done things to it that are sort of unconventional in supercars, lightweighting and the typical aero treatments that you would see, like a chin spoiler, have been eliminated. And they've used side aerodynamics to keep the car on the ground. So it's an amazing feat of technology, and I could go on and on.
What do you mean they just started selling cars? Are you talking about the dealership you went to?
Well, I'm saying McLaren and it's McLaren itself. I mean, you know, they weren't McLaren just started selling cars in 2011 again, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Here we are in 2017, and they're redesigning a car that's for the third time.
What you're saying is this is a supercar, and typically, you know, you don't make big changes very often, and they're already, okay, I got it. Now I'm up to speed, so yeah, you left me
exactly.
Behind for a minute. Remember, it's radio.
Sorry, buddy.
I can't see the dugout.
I know.
So, all right, well, when you do get behind the wheel and you get it around your brand-new track you guys are working on, we'll talk about that now for a second. Apex Motor Club, when you get behind the wheel, we're going to have to get a real test drive review from you, because McLaren knows if I get behind the wheel, God, they may not get it back. But talk about Apex Motor Club in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's something that is brand new. There's a website, by the way, apexmotorclub.com. Tell the world about it.
Well, thanks for asking. First of all, that McLaren 720S is an ideal car for our facility, which is a 4.5 mile world-class road course, 280-acre facility, you know, 50 car condos in phase one, 12,000 square foot clubhouse, and just the most bitchin' place that you could be for a motorsports guy.
Now,
it has some of the coolest guys that you can imagine.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm one of them.
I get excited.
I want you to know that we, as a group of car guys, Jason leading the pack and Matt Williams with him, and then a bunch of other guys, Ari Lyon Dyke, you know, Indy 500 winners and things like that, are involved. And you are finally giving birth to this thing. By the way, I don't want to be in the birthing room. But, I mean, it's finally happening, right?
Finally happening. We just engaged with Paul Tracy today to add to that list.
Wow.
So, yep, and more to come. It's a really neat place, right? Those types of people will frequent the as well as some of the most astute car collectors, sports car aficionados, amateur racers, professional racers. And it's just a really, really neat place. It's, you know, only 30 minutes from our international airport, and it'll be the closest motorsport club to a major metropolitan area. That's pretty cool.
You know what? A lot of people don't realize what's happening in the world of high-performance cars. You're going to see more and more of these motorsports clubs and parks opening. If you could just kind of twist your brain just for a moment and imagine what you would call a golf course and call it a motorsports club type thing, that's what you've got. Kind of a cool, you know, racetracky thing going on where you can get out and have fun with your, you know, car like me. I have a Viper ACR. So when you know, Jason and the guys heard that I got the Viper, they said, oh, well, you got to be a part of our club. Of course. And then there's a few of them around. But I'm telling you, these are world-class places that if you're totally into this stuff, you want to check out apexmotorclub.com. When will it be opening, by the way? This is like brand spanking.
Yeah, and our goal is to break ground in late September, early October this year with a track completion in the January, February range of 2018.
Awesome. Beautiful weather of that time, and Barrett Jackson will be in town in January. Real quick, what is going to make Apex unique from other ones?
Well, I think besides the fact that we're closest to any major metropolitan area, the 12-month season is a big feather in our cap.
Yeah.
But more importantly, the people.
Right.
Not only our family member group, but guys that you've mentioned on this call. Guys like yourself, Alan.
Well, thank you.
ACR.
I feel so special right now. All right, Jason Plotkin, the clock's going to run us over. He's the president and founder of Apex Motor Club, where I will be parking my Viper so I can drive it like it was meant to be driven, like it was built to be driven around a world-class course. That's about it for us, everybody, this week. This is The Drive. See you next week. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit HatcherFoundation.org for more information.